Immunocompromising factors. Infectious diseases cause significant morbidity and mortality in immunocompromised persons. An immunocompromised person has one or more defects in the body's normal defense mechanisms that predispose him or her to infections, often life-threatening, that would otherwise not occur. These individuals are at risk for common infections as well, and these may pursue a more aggressive course than they might otherwise. The number and type of immunocompromised hosts are constantly increasing for several reasons, including the aging of certain populations around the globe, medical advances that have kept persons alive who previously would have died of their underlying disease, pandemic infection by the human immunodeficiency, HIV, hepatitis B, HBV, and hepatitis C, HCV, viruses, homelessness and the resultant lack of basic hygiene and good nutrition, the obesity epidemic, tobacco and recreational drug abuse, diminishing access to primary care with resultant late diagnosis of diseases, and immigration of persons from developing parts of the world where exotic and potentially immunocompromising infectious agents are endemic. The various host defects that are commonly associated with impaired immune resistance can be put into 7 general categories. These categories and examples of the more common specific manifestations that apply to them are as follows. Defects in the cutaneous barrier to invasion of endogenous, the individual's own microbial flora or acquired organisms, surgical incisions, thermal or chemical burns, traumatic injuries to the skin, severe dermatological conditions, poorly controlled eczema or psoriasis, scleroderma, mycosis fungoids, chronic fungal infections of the skin or nail beds, indwelling intravenous lines, either temporary or long-term, injections, either legal/medicinal or illicit, ulcers, decubitus, diabetic, vascular insufficiency, mucous membrane barrier defects, mucositis induced by irradiation or chemotherapy, trauma to the head and neck, smoking, tobacco, recreational drugs, inhalation injuries, heat, smoke, caustic chemicals, recreational drugs, poor oral hygiene, erosions from nasogastric or endotracheal tubes or indwelling Foley catheters, antacids, proton pump inhibitors, etc., which decrease the number of ingested organisms necessary to cause gastrointestinal disease, including Clostridioides difficile, allow a reservoir of bacteria to develop in the stomach, which can be regurgitated and aspirated. Conditions that cause obstruction of a natural body passage, tumors of the lung, gastrointestinal tract, pancreatic head, elsewhere. Foreign bodies from aspiration, endotracheal tubes, renal stones, gallstones, prostatic enlargement, cystic fibrosis, abnormal number or function of granulocytes, leukemia, chemotherapy for malignant disease, aplastic anemia, granulocytopenia as an adverse drug reaction, dysfunctional granulocytes despite normal numbers, diabetes mellitus, especially if poorly controlled, corticosteroid administration, rheumatoid arthritis, renal failure, congenital disorders of phagocyte function, such as Chediak-Higashi syndrome, chronic granulomatous disease, hypereosinophilic, JAB syndrome, and others, abnormalities of cell-mediated immunity, bone marrow transplantation, HIV infection, chemotherapy for malignancy, tumor necrosis factor inhibitors for rheumatologic disorders and Crohn's disease, aging, Hodgkin's disease, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, corticosteroid administration, third trimester of pregnancy, severe malnutrition, abnormalities of humoral immunity, bone marrow transplantation, HIV infection, chronic lymphocytic leukemia, multiple myeloma and Waldenstrom macroglobulinemia, aging, childhood immunoglobulin deficiencies, acquired hypogammaglobulinemia, common variable immunodeficiency, factors that affect immunity in multiple ways, aging, severe trauma, alcoholism, chemical dependency, malnutrition, obesity, splenectomy, organ failure, cirrhosis, chronic renal failure with or without hemodialysis, spinal cord injury, high-dose corticosteroid administration, chemotherapy. Within the categories above, broad variations in immunological function may exist, and the level of immune system function for an individual will change over time. As such, the patient's risk for infection should be evaluated by defining their current net state of immunosuppression. Key point: it is important to realize that each of the categories of host defects rarely, if ever, is present alone. The factors all interact to affect the state of immunosuppression. The effects of one factor may magnify the effects of another, or, in some cases, the presence of one factor may make the presence of another more or less likely or make the other factor harder to identify and recognize. Exhibit 1-1 shows the major categories of host defects and how they lead to the net state of immunosuppression. Exhibit 1-1. Interacting host defects that affect state of immunosuppression. For individuals with fully functional immune systems, only a relative handful of pathogens are able to cause infection and disease. These are sometimes called true pathogens, and examples include commonly known pathogens like influenza, Bacillus anthracis, and Corynebacterium diphtheriae, along with those that cause some exotic diseases like viral hemorrhagic fever. As an individual's net state of immunosuppression degrades, that is, as their immune system becomes progressively worse due to any present factors, organisms that are less virulent are able to become pathogenic. This means that patients with major immune defects are subject to a larger number and greater variety of infectious diseases. These organisms that tend to become pathogenic only when an individual has some level of immunosuppression are sometimes called opportunistic organisms. Key point: true pathogens also cause infections in immunocompromised patients. However, it is important to note that the presentation of these pathogens is often different than would ordinarily be seen in a healthy individual. When assessing a patient's immune status as a factor for infection risk, a thorough history and a detailed physical examination are essential. This includes information about previous infections that may imply specific types of immune dysfunction, a complete listing of all medications, including all over-the-counter medications and any food additives or other natural remedies that may be affecting the immune system, birthplace, geographical areas of residence, and extensive travel. Lifestyle information such as pet ownership, hobbies, and recreational activities such as spelunking, hiking and camping, and hunting or fishing. Sexual history, including history of sexually transmitted infections and their treatments. History of drug use, including quantity of alcohol consumption, use of oral, inhaled, or injectable illicit substances, and misuse of prescription drugs. A meticulous systems review and physical examination. Routine lab work data, including complete blood counts with differential and chemistry panels, including measurement of liver enzymes, renal function, and electrolytes. Nutritional status as described by body mass index, along with other factors such as serum albumin, transferrin, and total lymphocyte count. Extensive travel and exposure history, including such questions as where travel, what activities were included, and whether the patient has been in a healthcare facility outside of the country. Depending on the clinical environment that a patient is seen in, all of the data listed above may not be available, may take time to gather. For example, lab test results, and/or may not be able to be communicated by the patient to healthcare professionals. It is important to be as thorough as possible given the situation and to gather as complete a picture as possible, potentially using information from family or persons accompanying the patient when necessary. Even a few known immunocompromisation factors can help indicate an initial immunocompromisation status for a patient that can be helpful when assessing risk factors at play with regard to infection.